the recording has started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the reconvened IGO-INGO-PDP Working Group on Red Cross Names call held on Thursday, the 2nd of August, 2018 at 1400 UTC. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are on the audio bridge only today, could you please let yourselves be known now? We do have Thomas Ricker.
Come up because I'm on the audio bridge only.
Thank you. Thomas Ricker, Stefan Hankins, and it looks like David Maher has just joined the audio bridge as well. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Thomas Ricker. You may begin.
Thank you very much, and good morning, good afternoon, good evening from me. It's Thomas Ricker, and we've already done the roll call. Let me hear whether there are any requests for changes to the agenda. There don't seem to be any. Any updates to statements of interest? Okay, so I should just note that I have updated my SOI slightly a couple of weeks back, so you might want to check that out in case you're interested in that. That allows us to move to the first agenda item, and that's a review of the public comments. We've only received three public comments in total, and I've agreed with Sherry in preparation for this call that he would show us through the comments and action that might need to be taken on the basis thereof. And I should also use this opportunity to let you know that I am on the audio bridge only. I don't have a computer here. I'm not on the Adobe because I'm on vacation, and I have to work with my phone only. So that might limit my ability to manage queues, but staff will help with that. So I would suggest that we start with the substantive debate of this call. And as you know, this is likely the last call of this group. So hopefully we're going to make this successful and can adjourn after having agreed on a motion that can be submitted to the GNFL Council by Heather at the end of this call. So without any further ado, let me turn it over to you, Barry.
Thank you, Thomas. Barry Cobb for the record. As Thomas mentioned, we're first going to go through the public comment review tool. He also mentioned there were three groups that did submit comments, the ALAC, the NCSG, and then there was a joint comment by the contracted parties house from the registries and the registrars. What we're going to do is basically run through each of these comments real quickly. For those comments where there was agreement with or support for the proposed recommendations, I've kind of taken the liberty of doing a preliminary comment thanking them, so you'll see the red lines. Note that I am sharing my screen for this meeting within the pod where you can see my screen being shared. There is a toggle switch in the top right-hand corner that can allow you to maximize what is being shared on your screen, so hopefully you can read it a little bit better. And should you need to place a chat or raise your hand, you can toggle back out of that screen expansion do those activities as required. So the public comment review tool is broken up into a few different sections. The first is general comments. I start with the ALAC, which was submitted by Alan Greenberg. Essentially, the ALAC has taken the position that as a humanitarian organization and one that's been regularly the target of those seeking to fraudulently attract donations, the Red Cross should be afforded the courtesy of having its various identifiers protected at the second level in GTLD domain names. In the third column to the right, I had put the tag as agreement. The working group response will be kind of a standard canned response unless you think this should be expanded on. essentially just noting that the working group thanks the ALAC for their comment of support. No action is taken, and then marking this particular one as completed. If there are any issues with this approach, just let me know and raise your hand, and I'm happy to stop at any point. The second comment in the general comments section was submitted by the NCSG. Back in 2013, the NCSG position was that special protection should only be provided to those groups that are legitimately entitled to have a preference over other users of domain names and are not able to protect their interests through existing measures because they lack legal protections. At the time the NCSG submitted its response, it believed that no specific harm had been demonstrated to a group that is unique to that group, and therefore no special protections should be provided. Essentially, they're stating that their position remains the same in 2018, that they should be given only under exceptional circumstances. Reserving names can be detrimental to the freedom of speech and the freedom to register names legally. Having said that, we acknowledge that this issue was responded because of GAC advice, which the ICANN board gave weight to. Over in column three, I did not put together a response yet, and I would seek input from this group about how this working group should respond back to this. And I'll just note that, as mentioned in their comment, their position is consistent with the original recommendations from the first IGO-INGO working group. Chuck, I see your hand is raised. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Barry. I admit I was disappointed in the NCSG response, not because I disagree with their general principle, and it might be good if we acknowledge that we respect the principle of freedom of speech and the other things that they say in their response. But the reason I'm disappointed, first of all, as you may have picked up if you looked at the email list yesterday, is that they really had nobody who was active in the reconvene working group. There was one member from the one participant from the NPOC, but I don't recall seeing any input from that person, and I didn't get a response when I asked that person, Poncele, whether or not they were representing the NCSG. Forgive me for going on a little bit long on this one, but and Heather, I know that the council is working on the PDP improvement procedures, but to me this is an illustration of why the PDP process doesn't work better than it does. If especially stakeholder groups who in the end are going to have to participate in a vote on the council do not actively have a representative in the PDP process, it really makes things difficult. I recognize that the NCSG is just keeping its same position that it had, and they certainly have a right to do that. But not giving the working group, the reconvened working group in particular, an opportunity to debate with them during the PDP process is really unfortunate. They may not have changed their position, but we could have at least done probably what we're going to do now when we consider their comments and debated and discussed the pros and cons of their fixed position. And that would have been so much better than at the end, after the working group has reached consensus with no objections, having to deal with this. It's just really unfortunate. Hopefully in the improvement procedures that are being considered, the council will consider ways to maybe mitigate this going forward and get commitments from working groups to handle, or excuse me, stakeholder groups to handle it differently. Now, that said, having gone through all of their comments, and again, I respect the principle that they're upholding, but the reality of the matter is one of the groups in the community had objections to what was, and that's the GAC, had objections to this, and efforts were made to deal with those objections, and to be concerned about this finite list of very specific names with some variations just doesn't make sense to me. Whose freedom of speech is really limited if one of these long names is reserved? And I mean, let's be real. if somebody wants to use one of these names and they're not associated with the particular organization, that's going to create confusion. And one of the principles, certainly with new GTLDs that we had, is that, you know, we should minimize confusion. This is not really a limitation. From a mathematical point of view, these 191 names, is a minuscule amount of the potential names that are available in the whole universe of possibilities. So it just seems like, you know, fighting for a principle without any real practical benefit to me. So now I definitely think we should respond. I think we should respond and mention the process and the lack of participation. I think we should show respect for the principle that they're supporting, but the practical implementation, the actual implementation of this, really, in all honesty, doesn't really limit much freedom of speech or anything else, since we have a finite list. And I think the council in their guidance to this reconvening working group tried to deal with that by asking for a finite list and the other things that were done. So that said, sorry for talking so much, but I feel very strongly that we ought to respond and acknowledge their input, respect the principle, but not make any changes as a result of their input. Thanks.
Thank you, Chuck. I'll also note for the record.
Chuck,
in the
Thomas,
chat,
is there anyone else in the queue?
Yeah, Thomas, I'll drive from here if you don't mind. So I'll just note for the record that Heather Forrest had placed into that she agrees with Chuck, and it's not an optimal outcome for the PDP or the vote in the council, and also acknowledges Chuck's comments will find their way into the PDP 3.0. Next I have in the queue is Greg Shatton. Please go ahead, sir.
It's Greg Shatton for the record. I agree with Chuck. I also agree with the principle advanced by the NCSG. However, principles should not be considered as absolutes or knee-jerk reactions or, frankly, unconsidered and unsupported absolute positions. As Chuck notes, there's really no, once you scratch the surface, there's really no argument that there's any legitimate freedom of speech that is being gored by restricting the use of these very particular strings. And I think, you know, the reason that we're here now and not 3 or 4 years ago is because of the level of care that we wanted to take in the group with regard to restrictions, which I still view as strongly disfavored, but not impossible to use properly. And I think that in this particular instance, our result is a proper use of restrictions where there is both a legitimate claim and a unique claim to the strain, and where the harm, which tends to come from these types of uses, which is often involved fraud and scams and misdirecting of donations and the like, is not that easily controlled through, you know, say just a domain name process, you know, a UDRP or some other process, without so that there really is really no there really are, I think, is a reasonable analysis of whether an exception should be made to the general principle of avoiding preemptive restrictions, comes out with the result that this is the case, one of the relatively few cases where that should take place. And I think if someone from the NCSG had been involved, perhaps they would have come to that conclusion along with the rest of us, or they perhaps, more unlikely, would have persuaded us that this is not the place to make an exception. But I don't see any reasoning for that. I can't think of it as a devil's advocate. And certainly since they weren't there and they still don't have anything in their comment, they shouldn't be there. So I think that, you know, in addition to lack of participation, I think that, which Barry notes and I think which should be noted, I think our response also should indicate that in substance we recognize the general rule or the general, that we are sympathetic with the general concept they advance, but in this particular instance, after long and reasoned discussions, came to a careful conclusion that we had that a very appropriate place where an exception should be made. And we could note finally that this is not intended to start any sort of slippery slope where thousands or tens of thousands of names will now go into reservations for all sorts of general reasons. This is a specific discussion about a specific set, a specific singular set, essentially. And that's how we got to where we got, and any further analysis along those lines you know, could well go with along those lines as well. But so any concerns about this kind of opening the floodgates, I think, should be assuaged. But I think the fact that, you know, just to wrap up, the fact that they didn't participate and then come out with a very knee-jerk, non-analytical, absolutist result, it is sad, and, you know, indicates, I think, there are many people with better nature and better analysis in the NCSG, but somehow that pen was not put into place in this particular comment. And we should encourage them to reconsider, based on the analysis and views, that both their principle and the rules, that decisions that we've made, can live in harmony, in fact, are the best result. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. And I also note that I pasted into the chat a draft response. I'd ask members to take a look at that, and if the language there is okay, I'm happy to keep it in there, but I do welcome edits that I can back in here. I suspect the same response will occur or be applied to the rest, I think the other one or two NCSG comments as we go to section. And Heather dropped her hand. stating that she might tinker a bit and she'll drop in edits shortly. Thank you. And Chuck has his hand raised. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, and sorry for talking so much, but I was really I kind of got the where they're coming from, keeping their position the same on the principle. But when they objected to provisions for making deletions or changes, that one I didn't get at all. You want to go through another PDP process if there's a name, a national society name that goes away? Why? That's just an editorial action to keep things up to date, or there's a slight change in a name. I thought we were very careful about putting in procedures that didn't open up doors too wide. They just kind of provided a process whereby reasonable adjustments backed up by evidence from the organizations in a very careful way. And it totally baffles me why anyone would oppose that kind of process. That to me just really shocked me.
Thank you, Chuck. And we'll talk about recommendations. Thomas, hold on. We'll talk about recommendations 4 through 6 when we run through the final report. Please go ahead, Thomas.
Yeah, and I just spoke up earlier because I wanted to check whether the queue was clear, because I wanted to put myself into it. Now, I think that all the points that were made are spot on. I think we should make a procedural point that we would have welcomed the NPSG to be part of the substantive discussion. But we have made our consensus call. I think that the comments don't warrant any changes to our recommendations. And I think that even the fundamental point is out of scope for this reconvened PDP working group, because making the fundamental point that no special protection should be granted, on that point the train has left the station when the original PDP was conducted, because we're now just talking about the scope of protection, but not about the fundamental question whether special protection should be granted to any special group. And I think that unless Gary has done so, which I can't see at the moment, we should make that point that on the fundamental question, the comment is out of scope. And on the specific points that we made now, we took a very measured approach with the finite list and avoid that there's any creep of scope where, a freedom of expression and other fundamental rights can be jeopardized. So that's just my 5 cents on this. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Thomas. I don't see any other hands raised. Again, I welcome a refined working group response, and I believe Heather was working on one while we continue on. I'll move along on to the next section, which is around the finite list of reserved names. The first one is from the joint registry registrars stakeholder groups. They're supportive of the effort to identify a group agreed finite list of full names of the Red Cross National Societies, as well as a recommendation for exception procedure for the cases where the relevant organization wishes to apply for their protected string. And they also mentioned that they're supportive of recommendations 3 through 6. I think it was supposed to be 4 through 6, but provide guidance for future error corrections, additions, and deletions to the list. As I noted, we'll talk a little bit about these when we review through the report. What I placed here for the working group response was that the working group thinks the registries and registrar stakeholder groups for their comment of support. Action taken is none, and marking this one completed. second comment here, again, is from the NCSG. Basically, they're taking note of recommendation one about the finite list of names to be reserved. It's in the same spirit as their general comment that we just reviewed above. And then they also pointed to recommendation two as being an overreach at second level protections, essentially the same rationale that they provided in their general comment. I see in the chat that there's a possible response, and I will read that out for the record. Thank you, Heather. The working group respects the general principle of protecting the freedom of speech and has given this serious consideration in the context of the finite and very limited nature of the list of protected names, being names corresponding to the official names of the National Red Cross societies. This list was compiled by the International Red Cross and carefully reviewed by the working group and relevant supporting experts. The working group considers it unfortunate that these comments were not raised during the working group's deliberations, and further that they did not take into account the extensive discussions that the reconvened working group has had to specifically ensure the legitimate basis for and finite nature of the list of protected names. On reflection, the working group is confident that the free speech considerations, whilst not raised during the reconvened working group's discussions, have been adequately taken into account. Absent any other suggested changes to that, I will place that in the response for the public comment review tool. And I will also mark this as complete as well. I don't see any hands or additional comments yet. Chuck agrees with Heather's version and thanking me for reading it into the record. So moving right along, we'll move on to the next section, which was updates to the Registry Agreement Specification 5. This is also by the registries and registrars, marked it as a concern, even in light of their support of the overall recommendations. The registry and registrar stakeholder groups are of the opinion that modifying registry agreements for this purpose is unnecessary and has some doubts about the logistics of such an operation, especially considering the possibility of future changes to the list. Noting the protections of IGO and IGO identifiers in all GPLD policy with a hyperlink to the policy is similar and overlaps to some degree with the recommendations in this report. That policy does not rely on modifications to the registry agreement, but rather references resources on ICANN's website, which is pointing a link to the list of reserved names, also known as the Specification 5 list. The registry registrar suggests a similar approach be taken here, and that updating this reserved names list is an appropriate and practical alternative to modifying all the registry agreements. Before I turn this or open this up, I'd like to make a couple of points here. First, I thought within the content of the final report that we were mentioning updates to the Specification 5 list, which is indirectly modifying a registry agreement, but it's only modifying that particular XML list for use by registries to reserve said names. There are no actual edits to the primary part of any of the registry agreements. And I'm also going to point out and sharing just kind of an additional bit of information since it was pointed here. The registries had noted that the protection of IGO and INGO identifiers in all GPLD's policy, which became effective as of yesterday, And the original scope was for all the recommendations from the first working group that were consistent with GAC advice. And I won't spend any much time on reviewing through the details, but in short, this policy does point to that reserve names list. And just as kind of a sanity check, yesterday I just tried to validate the implementation of this. So, for example, I looked up a full name of one of the IGOs listed in there to see if it was available for registration, and it wasn't. And in particular, I also reviewed the .com registry agreement. Some of the original TLDs out there that haven't been renewed in the recent past are slightly variant, they're different in how the overall registry agreement is structured for the new gTLDs and some prior legacy TLDs that have recently renewed their registry agreement have started to conform to this newer style or newer structure of the registry agreement. So these older ones don't necessarily point to specification 5, but in particular, because contracted parties do have to adhere to the consensus policy, it's this pointer here in the consensus policy that all GTLDs would use to become compliant with that consensus policy. And so just to make it more specific, what I have shared on my screen now is this XML list, which is termed a part of the specification 5. And there are different sections throughout this list, starting with all of the Red Cross names, secondarily with the International Olympic Committee, and then thirdly with the IGOs that are listed there. And we'll come back to this and talk a little bit more about it when we're going through the final report, but I just wanted to make that clear. Lastly, I see that Stefan had posted into the chat that he will assume to be able to revise some wording to Heather's proposed text, ergo the reference to National Red Cross or Red Crescent Societies, et cetera, I may provide subsequently. Stefan, yes, you're welcome to do that. I think there's always confusion in how these formal names should be used, and often we probably incorrectly use a shorthand form of the name. But if you could provide those in the chat, that will be helpful so that I can turn these documents around as quickly as possible. So returning back to the registry registrar comment, I think in general the response would be, thanking the stakeholder groups for their response. Their concern is noted. However, it is the working group's understanding that it would only be the specification 5 list that would be updated and no specific updates to actual registry agreements or something along those lines. And I welcome some language from the working group to paste in here. I'll stop there, and I see that Chuck has raised his hand. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks. Hey, I'm going to put David on the spot. I don't know if he can help us or not. David, like me, I think is trying to retire, so I don't know how up to speed he is in terms of the contracted party's comment. But I'm curious, David, do you think that this addresses the concerns that the contracted parties had? In other words, if it's just regard to the specification, or is this something you're not up to speed on?
Hi, Chuck. I'm a little reluctant to speak for the entire stakeholder group. I think it conforms to their program. I don't really see any problems, but that's a private view, not an official viewpoint of the group.
Uh, Thank you, Chuck, and thank you, David. Again, when we go to look at the final report, we'll look at that particular section, and maybe it just wasn't as clear as it should be within the report. But in the end, it will only be that specification 5 list that's edited. Any other comments or concerns on this comment? Hearing and seeing none. And again, which I think Chuck had mentioned this earlier when we were reviewing the overall NCSG comment, specifically they were pointing towards recommendations 3 and 4 through 6, also not agreeing with these particular recommendations. For the sake of time, I won't read through the entire comment, but I'll note that I think it's likely assumed that this will be the same response as what we had mentioned or what we're placing in the prior two NCSG comments responses. Which I think Stefan is hopefully editing now. But in short, again, there's no agreement with those recommendations in line with their overall position and principle on protecting the freedom of expression. Any comments or questions in regards to that particular one? Okay. Hearing and seeing none. Thomas, with your position, permission, I'm going to go ahead and switch over to the review of the final report. And whenever I do get the final working group response, I'll be sure to post these in. As a point of order, right after our call or shortly thereafter, I'll make any final edits to these documents and then send them out to the list to make sure that staff has captured everything correctly. Okay, now what you're seeing in the screen before you is the next version of the final report. The changes that have been made up to this point, first and foremost, a few weeks ago, Stefan had submitted some suggested edits to the report in redline form. Those are still contained and redlined in this particular version. Also, staff has converted, basically converting this from an initial report to final report. So as you'll see in the screen now, that's why you'll see initial is marked out and final is listed. And what I intend to do is basically start from top to bottom, and I won't go into specific redline edits, but I will be stopping where there was a call-out comment to the side. And I should also note that one other primary change that was applied across the entire document is anywhere the use of the word definitive was struck out and only finite has been replaced and used consistently through the document, and that was my error, so apologies for that. So essentially, the first two pages, cover letter and a table of contents. From Stefan's discussion or proposed edits that he sent a few weeks ago, he did have the comment that, you know, is it sufficiently clear that this these consensus recommendations and the consensus policy itself, does it apply in all GTLDs? And asking, you know, should it be further stated or is it implicit? Basically, the response I made is that it is implicit that all of these changes do apply to all generic top-level domains and not just the new GTLDs. I see Stefan is typing into the chat. I am hopeful, though, that this should alleviate any concern that he had here. All right, great. And with from the chat, Stefan says that's fine. So I will delete these out. And moving straight along to the next proposed edit, which is still a part of the introduction. Essentially, there's a statement here that refers to the scope of this reconvened working group, which was essentially in regards to the IFRC, ICRC, National Societies, and did not include any of the other identifiers outside of that specific scope, nor did it include the acronyms that are still pending reconciliation with the board, GAC, and GNSO. So I took the liberty of adding this kind of extension statement, essentially stating that and prior GNSO policy work, they are not covered by the reconvened working group's recommendations and will remain reserved pending further deliberations external to this working group. I'm hopeful that that will sufficiently cover this concern. And if that's not adequate, please raise your hand or state a comment. Hearing and seeing nothing. Okay, now we'll move on down into the summary of recommendation 6. I'm going to go ahead and spend a little bit of time about recommendation 6. It's really kind of recommendations 4 through 6. And then hopefully that will alleviate us needing to go through these in detail when we get to the actual substantive content of this report. Essentially, again, recommendations 4 through 6, and the intent of these is to help correct any errors that may be found should this finite list be implemented into the Specification 5 reserve names list. And they were predominantly created based on lessons learned of when staff had temporarily reserved these names back in 2014. Specifically, Stefan's question here is in relation to kind of the communication path of how these changes might be invoked. And specifically, he's asking is, would such cases also implicate Recommendation 5, i.e. that the changes have to be notified to the GNSO Council and the GAC? If Recommendation 5 applies to this situation, I believe we should say so explicitly. And I personally believe that it should apply. I also added a follow-up comment here that, you know, should this recommendation be more explicit in that registry operators detect an error? So, again, to put some real-world example behind this, when the 108, at the time, the 189 National Society names had been reserved, it was essentially taken from a Word document and given the urgency to get those identifiers reserved, it turns out there was an extra carriage return on one of the National Society names from Russia. And as it turned out, then an error appeared in that I believe the word society by itself became reserved. That was only uncovered by one of the registry operators from the Russian area, and thus the nature of these three recommendations. So I think the general question is, should there be changes to any of these recommendations 4 through 6, or is it implied that essentially anybody in the community can inform us or inform ICANN.org of a potential error, and how does that process play out? And again, I should note that these three recommendations are only up until essentially the policy effective date, or maybe it's sometime after that, that some sort of error is discovered and communicated back to ICANN.org. And in particular, it tries to create a fast track by which this error can be rectified, as opposed to what we're dealing with now, where that particular generic phrase is still reserved. So I'll stop there and open it up to the floor for any comments or questions. And Stefan, you know, for the sake of time, if your comment's going to be substantial, it'd probably be easier for the record to speak in to the mic instead of typing. I'm hearing and seeing nothing, so I'm going to try a different avenue, specifically recommendation 6. The reconvened working group recommends that a proposed correction of any errors, example given in translation or spelling, in the finite list of reserved names be made only through the submission of the formal request to ICANN organization by official and designated representatives of the International Red Cross and Red Crescent, describing in detail the nature of the error and the specific correction to be made in the form of direct replacement to the erroneous entry. The ICANN organization shall have the right to refer the request to the GAC or otherwise conduct an investigation into the accuracy of the correction sought. Whereas recommendation 5, the reconvened working group recommends that any and all future changes to the finite list be made only upon notification to ICANN organization and the confirmation by designated representatives of the International Red Cross and Red Crescent movement to that effect. A, the proposed changes have been communicated to the GAC as well as the GNSO Council, and any new national society names to be added to the list have been recognized in accordance with the applicable rules and procedures of the movement. Any proposed deletions from the list would be based on the cessation of operations of the National Society or its removal from the movement in accordance with all applicable rules and procedures of the Red Cross movement. And the last thing I'll state here, and I'm starting to question whether recommendation 5 is even necessary. Again, the intent here is a fast path to correct errors. And I should note, when I'm sharing my screen, within the policy that became effective just yesterday for the protection of IGO and INGO identifiers, this also does include the Red Cross names. And within this policy, there is a change procedure loaded in here, which I believe is 4.4, which will also be leveraged should this become implemented by Dennis and the GDD team. But 4.4 for Red Cross, IOC, and IGO identifier list changes, names may be added to or deleted from the Red Cross, IOC, and IGO identifier list upon 10 calendar days notice from ICANN to the registry operator. ICANN will consult with the GAC and the GNSO in relation to the proposed changes to the names on the Red Cross, IOC, and IGO identifier list on the reserve names. So I think the intent here is that after this finite list is implemented and we've gone to the policy effective date, this 4.4 procedure within the consensus policy is the ongoing procedure for any future adds, changes, or deletes to this particular list, noting that the GAC and the GNSO are a part of that process. So I see that Heather has her hand raised. Please go ahead, Heather.
Yes, thanks very, very much. This is Heather Forrest. Barry, I think I agree with you that I'm not, it seems to me that five and recommendations five and six overlap. I wonder, given that you, you know, quite rightfully referred us to the ongoing, the accident policy, do we need, Barry, for clarity to be referring to that policy and the actual section there is my first question. My second question is, to the extent that we're going to remove recommendation, you know, one of them, if we determine a duplicative, five and six, I note that one thing that's missing from six that's present in five and the provision that you've just read, 3.4, I think it was, is the reference back to the GNSO as well as to the GAC. So I suppose 2 points for me, Barry. One is, do we need to reference that 3.0 of the existing policy? And two, in these recommendations, if we're going to delete one or the other, I would say we delete six and drag anything across to five that might need the tenor of it. So thank you.
Thank you, Heather. I'm going to answer your question with more rambling by me. I'm going to move down to the, you know, these are just the summary recommendations from the executive summary. And this is where Steph Ahman originally started. So I think maybe what I'll do is I'm going to migrate down quickly to the actual recommendations themselves, the full recommendations. And there was also one other comment as it related to this issue. And for those that maybe can't see in the Adobe Connect room, I'm on page 13, which is part of recommendation 5. So the text of the recommendation is the same as it is up in the executive summary, but there are also recommendation details here. And specifically, paragraph 2 of the recommendation details used to state that the reconvened working group also understands that the GAC is the term authoritative channel for any proposed changes that are to be made to the reservation list. Chuck had made a follow-up comment about changing it to an important channel. And Heather had supported that as well. I'm going to try to be, and I'll come to you, Mary, in just a second. The idea of the current consensus policy that went into effect yesterday is that any, and I'm just going to use Red Cross, although it does apply to the IOC and to the IGOs, but the intent is, let's say, a week from now, the 192nd Society were to be approved by the movement. The formal path to get that added to the Specification 5 list would be Red Cross representatives or Stefan would notify the GAC of the 192nd Red Cross Society names and the variant identifiers of its formal and usual name, and the GAC would then therefore inform ICANN.org and in parallel the GNSO that these changes were going to be made. Absent objection from the GNSO and ICANN.org and specifically the GDD team not hearing any objections, they would make that update to the Specification 5 list. They would notify the registry operators, and according to the current policy, would have 10 days to implement that change to the Specification 5 list. And so my use of the term authoritative was meaning that it's a formal request coming from the Red Cross representatives through the GAC, and then communicated to the GNSO and ICANN.org. That's the permanent policy. And then again, just a reminder that recommendations 4 through 6 are really only in terms of identifying errors to this finite list up to a certain point when it becomes implemented. So I'll stop there And I have Mary first and then Greg. Please, Mary, go ahead.
Thanks, Barry, and hi, everyone. It's Mary. I think, Barry, you explained quite a lot of the background that I was going to go into. I think it is important to understand how implementation of these recommendations will align with how implementation of the consensus policy that just went into effect yesterday was done. And there are mechanics to that, as in, you know, the communications procedure and does what. So that's one observation. Secondly, and as Heather's noted in the chat, there is a distinction between recommendations 5 and 6, and it may not be as clear in the executive summary versus the main body of the text that Barry's pointed to. So from the staff perspective, neither is redundant. They cover a similar type of scenario in that writ large, they are about changes, using the word very generally, to the list and how it's done, but they really are about different kinds of changes. Whether something is added to or dropped from the list of names and identifiers is one thing, but something that's already on the list that needs a change because it's spelt incorrectly or the characters are jumbled up is a different kind of change. So second observation is that these two recommendations do cover different types of changes. Third observation is that I would suggest that if necessary, we could add a sentence in the executive summary to point people to the main text to avoid confusion, but I would not advise adding further to the executive summary simply because of the purpose of the summary versus the purpose of what's in the main text. And finally, with regard to the role of the GAC, whatever word we end up with, and I see the change here from the authoritative word to an important channel, I think what we're trying to get at really, and again, this harks back to Barry's explanation of, you know, how the implementation was discussed for the consensus policy. What we're trying to get at here is, first of all, that this is not an ad hoc process, and that second of all, that communications, especially of substantive changes, need to come through the GAC. It cannot be a phone call from, you know, a Red Cross Society, for example, or someone claiming to be a representative of the International Olympic Committee. There is a process. The GAC has an important role in the process, and that's what this is trying to get at here. I did have one last point, and sorry that I forgot, but that is as to the error correction. I think it is a good point that it may be something that's spotted by registry operators. So to the extent that we haven't specifically included that, we may want to add that to the recommendation. Thanks, Barry.
Thank you, Mary. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Chapman, for the record. I also felt uncomfortable with the use of the word authoritative because it implies both a substantive authority as well as a procedural appropriateness. I'm not sure that the word that's in there now, which is a strong channel or a whatever it is, quite goes there. I was thinking, and the way you actually described it, Barry, you used a different word, which was the formal channel. And I think that, and I see Mary, great minds think alike, or at least minds think alike, that a formal channel or appropriate channel, I think formal probably has is best because it kind of has a singularity to it. Unless the intention of important, and that was the word, was it to imply that there could be other channels. But I think if the idea is at least administratively there needs to be a single channel, but not that the GAC has kind of a has the sole decision as to whether a change is appropriate, but that the change process flows through them. So I think formal kind of gets it right. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. And I see Chuck is typing. And in the meantime, this next comment, since we're here, let's go ahead and take care of it. And then I would like to circle back about how do we incorporate maybe, you know, registry auditors or some other party identifying an issue. The intent of this last paragraph of the recommendation details, again, is in general to avoid front-running of any potential new societies being created. And Stefan had made a comment here, you know, that he's conversant in their process by which a national society is recognized by the ICRC in accordance with Article 4. And essentially there's a date on which this happens and of the statute, you know, that the statutes are recognized by the ICRC and the Red Crescent Movement. My point here, or what I had intended when I first drafted this paragraph, is somehow before there's any public notification of the creation of a new society, that is when the Red Cross representatives, before that date, the Red Cross representatives should invoke this change process, submit the formal and usual names based on our variant criteria to the GAC to allow the implementation to occur before that date is announced. And my point is that, you know, ICANN doesn't want to be, or none of the stakeholder groups and constituencies or SOs or ACs want to interject in any process of the IFRC, but I think it would be good for the Red Cross in general to front run this notification or advance this notification prior to it becoming public so that there's time to implement those names and protect them before it's publicly announced. You know, Stefan, I don't know if that covers your concern that you had mentioned here, or if it's possible for you to communicate internally to your organization that this should be somehow updating the process. It's really kind of meant as an advisory to you and your organization, not so much anything that ICANN.org would implement should this become consensus policy. And Stefan, please go ahead. If you're speaking, we can't hear you. Stefan, we're sitting. Stefan, your mic appears to be enabled, and you are connected. Are you just using Adobe Connect only, or are you also connected on the audio bridge? If you are connected,
On the audio bridge.
So perhaps select *6 to unmute yourself.
I'll have the operator check the line as well.
Thank you.
The operator has confirmed that his line is open. So possibly, did you mute your phone, Stefan? Stefan, would you like the operator to dial out to you to see if we can get a better connection? Thank you, Stefan. If you would like to just send me your phone number privately, I can have the operator call out to you.
Thank you, Andrea. So while we're waiting for Stefan to get the dial out, any suggestions on how we can update recommendation 5 and or 6 to make it clear that other parts besides the Red Cross can make a notification of error change? And Mary, I might look to you if you have a suggestion.
Sorry, Barry, can you repeat that? I stepped away for a minute.
Apologies. So, the again, I kind of, the way recommendation 6 is worded is essentially that, you know, official representatives of the Red Cross and Red Crescent would notify the ICANN organization, and it's very explicit there. I'm looking for a suggested change that can open that up, that as per a real-world example, a registry operator can also notify the organization of this potential error.
Understood. Thank you. I see Chuck is typing, and I guess while we're trying to get Stefan on the phone, Chuck, I hope you can hear me.
I can hear you just fine, Mary.
All right, so I'll just keep going, and hopefully everybody might get fixed. I guess my question back to the group and you, Barry, is are there any other potential channels that we can foresee as being able to spot errors that should be corrected? I acknowledge, I think like I said earlier, that we probably should have included registry operators. That's why my question back is, besides the Red Cross, who should know, because these are their list, and registry operators who have to implement this, are there any other parties? The intent of Recommendation 6 is again, so that not anyone can just cry wolf, essentially, that there is a process and that I can or can receive those requests from the proper people and channels and act on them. So I think there's two parts to this is who else besides registry operators, or is it just a Red Cross and registry operators? And secondly, to make sure that whichever and whoever they are, that they do go to and through ICANN.org.
Thank you, Mary. I would say it's most likely going to be those two parties, either representatives from the Red Cross or registry operators. So I've updated recommendation 6 to basically mention by official representatives of Red Cross and Red Crescent and or registry operators describing in detail the nature of the error and a specific correction to be made. Would that be a sufficient change for the group? There are no objections.
Barry, it's Thomas. I guess it's sufficient because it is.
Please go ahead, Barry, Thomas.
I was saying I think it's sufficient because even a third party that tries to register a name, which happens to be reserved, can then go to the registry operator and use that channel. So I think we don't need to open up additional communication channels, which might open the floodgates for vexatious complaints.
Thank you, Thomas. And welcome back, Chuck. Stefan, have you connected yet?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can, Stefan. Please go ahead.
Okay, great. I'm sorry for that. Okay, I understand that we were discussing this question of, you know, at what point the ICANN staff would be informed of the creation of a new national society so that steps can be taken for the identifiers of that new national society to be entered into the system. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's
okay. Well,
on page 13.
Yeah. That's right. It's a little bit delicate for us to, we wouldn't be able to, request for the reservation of the names of a new national society to be entered into the system prior to the formal decision that is taken within the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement for the recognition, which is it's actually the ICLC senior governance body that does that. But I can rework this paragraph. You know that we would give a that we that you know the we could commit to. To send an advanced information that, you know, a new name is upcoming. That would be, you know, what we would be able to do. I don't know whether this answers the question, but I don't think we would want to communicate with external stakeholders such as the ICANN that a new national society his name should be protected until the actual recognition has taken place. So it would be the reconvened working group suggests that the international, it's actually the ICRC, the International Committee of the Red Cross, inform. ICANN staff or, in advance of, the process of recognition of a national society so that, steps for the protection of the names may be immediately taken from the time the recognition has been pronounced or something of the kind.
Thanks, Stefan. So what I did was just amend the statement, but possibly prior to as soon as possible after publication. And I'm going to create a footnote of your comment here that just kind of adds some extra sense around the process by which a society is recognized by the IFRC. So thank you for that.
I will send a revised text in a minute.
Thank you. I think we got it, but thank you.
Yeah.
We only have about 12 minutes left. Sorry, Heather, this is going longer than I had expected. So I just want to quickly walk through. I'm going to work my way back up the list. According to recommendation 4, which in essence is describing the variant principles that the working group has outlined here. There is one highlight that it was my mistake, but in review of the finite list and specifically around societies that wish to use Red Cross or Red Crescent in their official language, the group had agreed to that, or there was no objection to the use of that for that particular society in that country. I had forgot to delete the second bullet as it pertains to the permitted variances in language. So far, there hasn't been any objection to the removal of that, so I just wanted to confirm with you that that particular variant principle was being deleted here. I see there chats. All right, thank you, Heather. And Stefan, I'm assuming your hand is an old hand?
It's an old hand, yes.
The other thing real quick that I wanted to just point out to you is, those are fine. Towards the bottom of the report, there's a background here. There was a clarification comment in the background section as it relates that there are no legitimate uses for these terms. Stefan had wanted to add in the additional language for the identifiers of the movement components, so I'll get that added in. But what I wanted to point out to the bottom here is the approach taken by the working group, because Chuck had mentioned this as well, that after this call, I will update this chart of attendance. Again, this is a short form of those members that had reconfirmed their membership in terms of producing the consensus level for the proposed recommendations. And once I do that, I will post the full updated attendance chart back over onto the wiki. And I'm just quickly running through these to make sure we covered the primary aspects of the report. Okay, so this is, I forgot this one. So as part of recommendation one, which essentially gets into the finite list, I wanted to make clear, Stefan had asked a question about this. Essentially, the term is, I think originally the interim list of reserve names and relevant DNS labels will need to be either replaced or reconciled with the finite list of identifiers. And so I want to assure the group here that this has been completed. So first and foremost, I'm going to refer back and share in the Adobe Connect room the specification 5 list as it exists today as part of the August 1st consensus policy implementation. And Dennis Chang and his team and the IRC did a great link to work in a more structured way. Again, the scope of this working group is only those scope 2 names that were originally identified by the original working group and specifically apply to the ICRC and IFRC and their national site name. So this fourth table here, and Stefan, you may want to mute your line. This fourth table here contained at the time the 189 national societies as well as a few suggested acronyms. So I went through this table essentially doing the reconciliation exercise, and there are 7 acronyms that I have identified here in the call out or the comment to the right. This fourth table will be replaced should this be adopted by the board and implemented by GDD and the IRC. It will be replaced in its entirety with the finite list that we have in our spreadsheet now. So the 7 acronyms that exist in this table will still remain reserved pending the reconciliation of recommendations between the GNSO and the GAC advice. That's not a part of this scope. What I did discover, though, is that the international movement of the Red Cross and Red Crescent was also not on our finite list. So I have added that over into our spreadsheet. So, again, there are 2 tabs. One tab is the now 191 national societies and their variants from their formal and commonly used names. But then there was also the International Committee of Red Cross and International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. What we didn't have on this was the International Movement of the Red Cross and Red Crescent, and I've added those with their UN 6 here. Chuck, I'll come back to your recommendation or your comment in just a second, or Mary will take care of it in chat. So I just wanted to point out that, you know, we had forgot to add this in here, and I don't think that there's going to be concern about this being a part of the scope, but I do want to make clear that if this gets implemented, this fourth table within the specification 5 list of reserve names will be replaced with the finite list that we have in our spreadsheet, with the exception of the 7 acronyms, and it'll probably be a separate small table, separate from our finite list. And to Stefan's concern, this third table here, there were also an additional 4 acronyms, as well as the Magnum of David, Autumn, Red Star of David, and a couple of others that I can't pronounce. This table will remain intact as well. It's first of all not in scope of this working group, but secondarily it will still continue to remain reserved until the reconciliation process. And I think Mary may have a statement or two about this, and I know she's responding to Chuck's comment, but hopefully, Mary, if you're available, can you go ahead?
Hi, Barry. It's Mary. So you're talking about this list and what stays on it after this reconvened group is done with its work. And I recall, I think just a few moments ago, you had said that the acronyms are out of this group. So that is part of the table here. Similarly, these names, such as the Red Star of David and I think the other equivalents, they are also out of scope for this group. So for immediate purposes of us completing our work in this group, those are not acronyms or names that we need to incorporate. But following our work, certainly in terms of what happens to these specific names, such as the Red Star of David, that is something that will need to be resolved outside of this group. Essentially, these names that you see from the table are currently on the interim temporary reserve list at the second level. At the top level, they have been withheld from reservation through the applicant guidebook for the 2012 round. So Barry and I have done some digging back into history to look at when that happened, how it happened, and through what mechanism. And we traced it back more or less to the drafting team for the Red Cross and the IOC that preceded even the original INGO PDP, but whose work, of course, led to the formation and initiation of that PDP. And those terms were within discussion of that group. We believe that, therefore, the origin of where and why those terms came to be on this list can be traced back to that. But like we said, for purposes of this reconvened group, they really are not within our scope. And so Barry and I will continue to document that other process, and we will hopefully have information that will be helpful to Stefan and others involved in that external discussion. Thanks, Barry.
Thank you, Mary. And we also have about 2 minutes left of this call. Before I turn it over to Greg, I'll just point out that we only have Greg, please go ahead.
Just quickly, maybe it's a quick question, not a quick answer. We could take it offline if need be. I just don't quite understand why Red Star of David and its Hebrew equivalent, Mogen David Adam, are not included when every other National Red Cross Society's identifier is. What's the problem?
Thank you, Greg. Again, I'll turn it over to Stefan in a second. My understanding, though, is the specific scope of this reconvened working group was what was considered the scope 2 names from the original group, which have to deal with the IFRC, ICRC, and their respective society names. And the Magnan David et al. Or Red Star of David were not part of that scope 2, thus why they're considered out of scope. I'm going to let Mary speak and then turn it over to Stefan. I'm sorry, we're probably going to run over a few minutes, but this is probably the most important issue. Probably should have got to it earlier. Mary, please go ahead, and then Stefan.
Thanks, Barry, and thanks, Greg. I haven't had a chance to go back and look at the list of National Society names and the variants that we've added to this report. So one quick response is, to the extent that names are on that list of National Society names, then yes, indeed, they are protected by way of the work of this group. But if they're not, and we have thought that these three terms in particular are not, then if you look at the instructions to this group from the council, if you look at the board resolution that preceded the council's reconvening this group, if you look at a number of the other prior resolutions, communications, and discussions, they really, for our purposes, focus on, as Barry said, the names of the Red Cross National Societies, which were 189 and then went to 190, and the specific names of the international movement. So that's kind of where the line and how the line was drawn.
Thank you, Mary. Stefan, please go ahead.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Stefan, I can hear you. Go ahead.
You can hear me.
You loud and clear,
yes,
Stefan.
I'm sorry. I thought you couldn't hear me. So, okay. I appreciate that the reference that is made to the designations and names that are currently protected. As regards the Magen David Adom and the name Magen David Adom in Israel, as noted, I think they are included in the names of the national societies proposed for reservation. So they are already in our table. So I believe that at the time, we had proposed Magen David Adom in the sense that there was a little bit of confusion how the names were then placed under the different lists of the current reservation. But in principle, and I see that in our current table, the words Magen David Adom are protected as a commonly used name of the Magen David Adom in Israel National Society. I think we're safe there. So I hadn't realized that, those names, Magen David Adom, with and without spaces, that, they would now remain under this additional list, not covered under the scope of the working of this group. So I think that we don't need, in fact, to include them here any longer, because they are already now included in the full list, which is now going for consideration to the GNSO Council as an annex.
Great. Thank you, Stefan. That is clear, and you are correct. So the only two full names of this table, three up here, that aren't on our finite list are Red Star of David and Lion at Sodel Rouge. And
yes, well, Red Star of David is, of course, an English translation. I think in light of the criteria that we have retained, which is that English translations of the names proposed for reservation would be included, we probably should have included it. I'm not entirely sure now, you know, where we stand. What is important is that, you know, Magen David Adom and Magen David Adom in Israel being protected, because, you know, these are in Hebrew, these are commonly, they're both used names for the National Society in Israel. So, but I'm no longer sure now how, you know, what is protected in English and what is not. Yeah. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So. I think
if we stick to the list that you've just projected, I think this would work. I think this is adequate. I think, and of course this was also prepared in consultation with our colleagues in the Magen David Adom in Israel's National Society. So, you know, that is also, you know, in consultation with them. It's their submission. So I think, you know, the inclusion of these names in this additional table is no longer required, in fact.
Thank you. So I'm noticing Greg's comment that it also says that it looks like the Red Star of David should be included as well, and perhaps the French translation of that. And I think, unless I heard wrong, that, you know, these four full names here, two of which are already on our finite list. So we're really only talking about these two translations. If there are no objections, first, it seems like they're confirmed that they're part of the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement as the National Society names. And secondarily, because Magen David Adom is already included on our finite list, all that we're adding is the English and French translation of that. And so, absent objections, I will ensure that they're included on our finite list in the spreadsheet. And then that makes this reconciliation process that much easier, that the only remaining terms would be the acronyms, which I think are a total of about 11 now, that again are outside of the scope of our of what we're working on here. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks, Barry. Just to clarify or maybe correct what you were saying, Lion et Soleil Rouge is not a translation of Star of David, Red Star of David. It's a translation of Red Lion and Sun, which is the Iranian International Red Cross Federated Society. These names are here in part because of political delicacies delicateness. Confusing Israel and Iran, probably not the best thing to do right now or ever. I don't think, unless we're taking the French translations of everything, I don't think it seems like we would take the French translation of Red Star of David, which I guess would be Etoile de David Rouge, or unless it's called, that's only a literal translation, that may not be the actual vernacular translation. But again, the Red Lion and Sun is an entirely different Red Cross society, and not a translation. Lion Soleil Rouge is the French translation of that. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg, for the correction. Duly noted. I barely speak American, let alone anything else. So again, thank you for the correction. Stefan lowered his hand, so I imagine he was in line to correct me as well. But in the end, the principle is still the same, that this third line here, this French translation, is for Iran and not. Thanks, Rick. Anyway, in general principle, these four strings here, I don't think that there's objection that they be included on our finite list, if for anything else, is to make the reconciliation a cleaner separation when these go to get implemented, should these go to get implemented by GDD down the road. And absent of any objection here on the call or over the next couple of days, I will get those added to the list. We'll get this sent out for your review today. Two last things I want to wrap up. As I mentioned, we've made it through the public comment review tool. We'll make those edits suggested by Heather and Stefan, or the response comments back to the NCSG. We're going to make the final updates to the draft final report, and I'm also going to make one last edits to this finite list and send those back out for the group to consider. The deadline for any last suggested changes, objections, agreements, whatever needs to occur, will happen until the 5th of August, this coming Sunday, at 2359 UTC, by which we'll incorporate any last changes as long as there's no disagreements, and then staff will ready the documents for submission to the GNSO Council by the 6th of August at 2359 UTC, hopefully earlier, noting that this is already on the draft agenda for the GNSO Council's meeting 10 days after that on the 16th. The last thing that I want to talk about here is Mary had sent a draft resolution to the list. Stefan had made a couple of suggested changes. I don't think were controversial to that draft resolution. Mary will, I think, make those edits and also send that out in combination with the other documents. If you have any other objections to that draft resolution, please also send those to the list. And as Mary noted in the chat, Heather has a final say on the motion, as she'll be the one formally submitting the motion to the council. And yes, Greg, that is correct. I will make sure that those get added to our finite list. I will highlight them in red for you. They'll also be noted on the change log, which is tab 2 of the spreadsheet. And again, till Sunday, by the deadline for any review and comments. Stefan, I see your hand is raised. Please go ahead, and then after that, I'm hoping we can wrap the group up.
Thank you very much, Stefan Hankins, ICRC. Yes, I wanted to react to the earlier point about the Red Lion and Sun, which is not the name of the Iranian Red Crescent Society, but is actually the name of one of the distinctive emblems protected under the Geneva Convention. So it's actually this name, Red Lion and Sun, in the 6 UN languages should in principle be corrected, should protected elsewhere in this process. But in any case, I had just one question which relates to next steps. If you can just clarify, you know, the next steps and, you know, how, what is the timeline then for the GNSO to to examine the recommendations, and then the timeline for this to be submitted and examined by the board. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stefan. As mentioned, we have to get these documents in by Monday for the council's motion and documents deadline. This group will have until this Sunday to review any of the documents. The GNSO council meeting is 16th of August.
August.
It's hard to handicap what will happen at the council level, but because these are full consensus recommendations, I don't have the expectation that this would be a deferred motion, but that's not to say that that's not, it is possible that it could be deferred. I would say, so worst case scenario, this gets adopted, considered, and eventually hopefully adopted by the council no later than September. Hopefully it occurs in August. The steps after that is that staff will prepare a board report, and there will also be a public comment period on the consensus recommendations submitted by and adopted by the GNSO Council. The board will consider those comments and eventually deliberate on whether to adopt the GNSO recommendations. Again, not predicting any future outcome, but should the board then approve the recommendations, which could probably be October-ish, maybe November time frame. Again, it's kind of thumb in the air guessing about time frame, but let's assume that the board were to adopt it in Barcelona or at its November meeting. Then the GDD would then take the helm of implementing the recommendations. Because we've done all the groundwork here, it should be easy for GDD to implement these changes. But they will engage the IRT. There will be another public comment period on the implementation. So roughly the, and again, this is a very thumb in the wind guess that the policy effective date for what this particular group is considering would occur formally probably around May or June of next year, because there is a six-month implementation period from once the consensus policy has been adopted as implemented to the policy effective date. So that's kind of a rough order of steps. It is a little slow, but necessary per the ICANN bylaws. I hope that helped answer your question. Any other comments, questions, or concerns before? Thomas, would you like any parting thoughts before we disconnect and close down this working group?
Thanks very much, Barry. And in fact, I'd just like to say thanks to everyone involved in this group, and in particular to yourself, Barry, and Mary, and the other staff that have supported us during this journey. And actually, for everyone that was involved in this exercise, we wrote history, because this is the first reconvened working group ever that ICANN has seen, or the community has seen. So it was a pleasure and a privilege of working with you guys. I hope that the council will adopt our recommendations on an as-is basis, and I hope that this subject is now concluded for good. I think we've worked with the diligence required. I think we've built in the processes to make any changes where necessary. And with that, I'd like to thank all of you and leave it for Barry to adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Thomas, and thank you to everyone, and look forward to seeing emails on the list and down the road as this process traverses through the council and beyond. Again, the list will remain active for a while, so if there are questions or concerns, please do send to the list, and we'll take care of that. Thank you, everyone, and this meeting is adjourned. Have a good day or good night.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. Please remember to disconnect all lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.